gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Apologies to Steph. Clostridium difficile.
Clostridium difficile.
Infections kill 300 Americans every day. Please join the Peggy Littlis Memorial Foundation's fight at peggyfoundation.org. All right, that's the hourly. Okay, people are just with me now. They just don't get me to pronounce that, right?
Yes.
For $100, you can sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show and get me to say things like that that I can't really pronounce. Thanks. Okay. I think it's worth $100 to some people just to f*** with me. That's what I think.
OnTopMag.com did that when they made you say monkey.
Monkey. StephanieMiller.com. Because I am a monkey that will say anything.
Yes.
If you give me $100. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Yeah, those are going to kill me if the Sexy Liberal Tour doesn't. I don't know what's happened here. Dear God, we'll be in Madison on Saturday. Syracuse, May 14th. Minneapolis, June 18th. Boston. Just added Saturday, July 16th. Ticketmaster, there's a code word to get tickets before the general public. Sexy.
Yep.
Apparently the ticket's flying out the door. Don't ask me.
You're just a figurehead.
I don't.
Your name's only on the show.
Tracy and Madison staff, I was so bummed when I heard you were coming to Madison this Saturday because we already RSVP'd to a wedding. We decided to start yawning around 8:30, say something about being past our bedtime, and then leave the wedding for the 10 p.m. Sexy Liberal Show at the Barrymore.
Wow.
Tracy and Madison, good girl! Yeah, screw those people. They'll probably get married again. It won't work. They'll get divorced. There'll be another wedding. There's only one time to see Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. That's a once-in-a-lifetime.
Statistically, weddings break up all the time.
Weddings, whatever.
Marriages are...
Bitter old hag, party of one. Bitter, your table's ready. John in Chicago, good morning. Although we're brimming over with Sexy Liberals here in Chicago, we always welcome a few more, and we're always up for a meet and grope. We really are more about the grope than the greet, but I know that about you, Chicago.
Yeah.
But we'll take what we can get. We have many theaters to choose from, but you could probably fill Soldier Field for bring it. I think that's what they're working on, Soldier Field.
Sure.
Because everything else is too small, so they're...
Soldier Field.
I'm told there's Sexy Liberal Elves working around the clock. I don't really even know how this works.
There they are.
But we have dates that we just haven't announced yet and things that we're working on that I'd have to kill you if I told you.
I's are being crossed and T's are being dotted.
Yeah, those stuff. You don't even want to know. My tour business is driving me crazy. There's yelling. There's yelling involved, apparently, in booking tours.
I've heard that.
There's a lot of yelling. And I just hear about it later.
This is coming from the tour wing of Stephanie Miller International.
Yes, International Incorporated.
Sure.
Sons. I think my sons run this. I don't know, and I didn't know I had them. So,
They're sons with Hal Sparks,
okay.
I'm sure.
Yes. All right. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I will be in Madison. We can't wait for Saturday. Oh, Terry, real quick, because we have the funniest, smartest listeners in class.
Mm-hmm.
Terry says the Republican Party has three candidates for president, Palin, Romney, and Trump, also known as I Quit, I'm Mitt, and I'm full of...
Hey!
I quit, I'm Mitt, and Trump is... Oh, that's going to kill Karl Rove. He's going to... Or Karl Frisch. What? I say Frisch?
Oh!
Karl Frisch. No!
He's frisch and exciting.
Yeah. He's not Karl Rove.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry, Karl Frisch. I don't know what I was thinking. I guess it was Karl Rove.
Good morning.
It was Karl Rove saying that Trump is a joke candidate. It's kind of hilarious, isn't
right.
it?
Right, and, you know, that says a lot when it's coming from Karl Rove.
Yeah.
I mean,
he ran George W. Bush, for God's sakes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, but
which means that Trump is really a joke.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, Carl, and I was thinking, the one thing you have to say about Karl Rove, he does know how to win elections, and I think this is what's happening, right? Their head is exploding because they see the disaster of epic proportions that this could be on the Republican side in 2012.
The one thing you have to say about Karl Rove is he knew how to win elections.
Yes, yes, yes.
He won a couple, and then he couldn't win one to save his life.
Right, but he knows enough.
Good for us.
Right, he knows enough to not have Donald Trump be their candidate. You know?
Well, I'm sorry. My dog knows that Donald Trump and Michelle Bachmann should not be their candidates.
Dexter is quite the political strategist.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but he also finds it funny. So we would both like Donald Trump and Michelle Bachmann to be the nominees.
Yes, yes. Oh, but I don't know if you saw it, Carl, on Fox News. The funnier part of the Karl Rove thing, though, is he was the best one. He shot down the birther thing with, like, personal. What did he say here? Wait a minute. He took on Trump's, quote, weird conspiracy theories on Greta Van Susteren. point by point, noting that not only does his family indeed know he was born in Hawaii, but even one of Rove's advisors was familiar with President Obama at Harvard and helped get him elected to the law review. He deemed the idea that his parents would arrange birth notices to ensure his presidential eligibility full-throated nuttiness.
Well, the fact that we are continually surprised when somebody stands up and says, this is stupid, shows how positively stupid they are on the other side. The fact that we keep on thinking this issue is going to go away shows how stupid we are, because it's never going to go away.
Yeah, I know, it really is. I mean, it's incredible. But that and the budget monster Paul Ryan getting booed yesterday at a town hall, that just those two stories made me a little giddy.
Was that your Fred Gwynn impression?
I was trying.
That was
delightful.
Good.
That's really good. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Sean Hannity.
Media bias is now on display as the Obama mania media interviews potential GOP candidates.
There is no question. He's got a certificate of live birth that is recognized by the State
Department. I know exactly what you're getting at.
That's media bias,
I guess. Asking Trump about the birther thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're not supposed to ask anything that isn't pre-planned and pre-approved. That's what Fox does. I mean, we're going to see more and more of that issue come up as the Republican primary unfolds. And I think what's going to be interesting is to see Fox start using this as a marketing ploy to get Republican viewers and to get Republican candidates on the air.
Yeah. Here's my favorite. This is Sarah Palin defending Trump. Here we go.
I do have respect for Donald Trump and for his candidness. I think people are craving that today in the world of political speak that we're coming out of the White House and the confusing messages that come from so many of our politicos. We appreciate that Donald Trump is so candid. Donald Trump is the one being really treated unfairly, I'd say, though, in the press when they're hammering him about the one issue that he has brought up and not been shy about, and that's the birth certificate. He's merely answering reporters' questions about his view on the birth certificate, and then reporters turn that around and saying, that's all he's got.
Yeah, she says that he would actually talk about substantial issues if only the press would let him, Carl.
I am so sorry, but that is a load of moose crap.
I know. It's like he's the one that started this thing, and it's all he's wanted to talk about. I mean, hilarious.
You know how it is. I wish Edie McClurg was here right now, because I would love to hear somebody just tell her, please, go away. Sarah Palin?
Yeah, but this is...
Dearest Prudence. You know, it's like she still doesn't realize.
She's like a one-hit...
Nobody cares what she...
She's like a one-hit wonder. The media, the lamestream media. That's all she can. I mean, it's always the media.
Which I am now a part of, and they're not treating Donald Trump properly.
And then did you see her media person? Was it 2 days ago? Tweeted and complaining that CNN wasn't giving her enough attention.
Yeah, now we're not paying enough attention to her. She's like, stop paying. Hey, why aren't you paying attention to me?
The only thing that Sarah Palin could do to get more media attention is dye her hair blonde and get kidnapped.
they asked why they didn't cover her Tea Party speech last weekend. Her person tweeted that.
But they did cover it.
They did cover it, though.
I know,
there were more union people there. There were more union people there than her people.
Right.
So it probably got covered as a union rally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As well it should have.
Yeah, exactly. They accidentally did journalism, and they don't like that. Okay, Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and Freaks.
Should we cut a deal with the Dems, or another bridge could collapse? That was the president's message yesterday, blaming budget holdout for the collapse of the Minneapolis Bridge in 2007. Mm-hmm. Can he scare Americans into spending...
Ah, I see. By mentioning that might have something to do with crumbling infrastructure and infrastructure spending. That's crazy, right?
No, it doesn't matter that it's a hard fact that the reason the bridge collapsed in Minneapolis is because they'd not spent enough money to keep it up to date. It's a fact.
Yeah.
And I will gladly let Gretchen Carlson drive across every bridge in this country if she wants to prove to me that this is not an infrastructure issue.
Yeah, I love what they call fear-mongering. Just saying that, look, this is a direct result of Republican priorities. When they cut transportation infrastructure funding, this is what happens. You know, I mean,
well, you realize when Fox News personalities like Gretchen Carlson say fear mongering, all they mean is there's a black guy on television.
Yeah.
Bernard Goldberg on O'Reilly.
Ew. I think it's easy to forget that because of Barack Obama's great smile and easygoing personality, it's easy for a lot of people not to notice, especially a lot of independent voters, not to notice who Barack Obama really is. And who he really is an old-fashioned, at times downright nasty, Chicago politician who gives hypocrisy and cynicism a bad name.
Wow. We really got taken with that whole hope thing, didn't we?
Yeah, remember when Bernie Goldberg was pretending to be, a neutral observer?
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly. O'Reilly still presents him as a neutral observer, and he is anything but.
Well, you know, O'Reilly would present Kool-Aid as a nutritious drink. Yeah. I don't think we should agree with him.
Oh, it's not. My personal favorite is the guy he presents as the radio expert, the guy that had the right-wing radio show that you used to be able to hear
from Radio
on your,
Equalizer.
That you used to be able to hear on your fillings, yeah. And then he doesn't even have that anymore, and so he's the radio expert.
Radio expert, yeah.
Okay.
And that Radio Equalizer guy gets posted on Newsbusters a lot now.
Yes.
I think he does a column for Newsbusters.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I think I get clipped
Brian Mulroney.
From
Mulroney.
The show on them than anyone else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Glenn Beck on the radio.
I told the police, do not get in bed with the AFL-CIO.
Oh.
They are radicals. Don't get in bed with them. The regular union people are not, but the leadership, they are.
Oh, dear. You know, what do you think is going to happen as his days count down, Carl? What's he left with? Just little crazy, they're crazy nuggets?
Well, you're not going to have to say any more on his radio show, because that's all he's going to have.
Yeah.
And I love it when he says radical, because all I picture him is like, you know, from the 80s saying radical with a duck tail or something, a rat tail.
Yes.
Yeah.
But whenever I hear him talking about getting in bed with somebody, I honestly think he's turned back to coke, because, you know, only somebody who spends $250,000 a year up his nose,
yes,
which he used to say he did,
yeah,
would be so infatuated with the idea of getting in bed with somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just going to be little crazy seeds and stems toward the end of his run, I think. Just little, you know, like maybe like little. Chris, you know how I have like show prep from a few years ago that I haven't gotten to yet?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I've stuff, you know, and it's just stuff I have left over.
Right.
So probably even his craziest conspiracy theories, Carl, he'll be saving till the very end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to go, he's going to go off the rails, and he's going to be kind of like that weird hippie neighbor that we all have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. He's going to smell a little bit like patchouli, and
all right.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Carl Frisch, remain in the sidecar, and then Dexter in the little other sidecar next to you. And we'll be right back with the end of 20 minutes after the hour, right back with a smidge more Right Wing World with Carl Frisch on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Sorry, I was doing something.
Yeah.
I was taking care of one of my other businesses. 24 minutes to the hour.
Another wing of Stephanie Miller International.
Nothing. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Carl Frisch in the sidecar for the... Speaking of the seeds and stems of right-wing world, Carl, I'm sorry. There's just one big glop of a gelatinous Rush Limbaugh at the bottom of our cup. Here we go.
It's the one-year anniversary of the BP oil spill. The media going nuts out there. One-year anniversary today of the explosion. which of the rig, which started the spill. You remember we were told at the time how the Gulf might never recover. Well, guess what? The Gulf region has recovered. In fact, recovered a long time ago, within months, just what? As we said it would.
Really?
Wow.
What? I guess he's a scientist now.
Well, you know, he did get his PhD from a correspondence course, so.
But all the pictures I've seen on the news, it's nowhere near cleaned up yet.
Yeah.
Well, it's also nowhere near being wall-to-wall coverage. I mean,
right.
The only reason I knew it had been a year since the spill was because I listened to radio. Barely hear peep on cable.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. All right. Noted environmentalist Rush Limbaugh. Thank you very much. Carl Frisch, I understand you're going to be at the Sexy Liberal Show in Minneapolis.
I will be there.
Will Dexter Von Frisch be with you?
I hope so. He's getting too big to travel in a plane, though.
Aww. Well, I will send you a glittery Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show thong to wear while we parade you around in front of the audience. Will that be all right?
Yeah, that's perfect. Do I have to wear it, like, with jeans, or...?
Doesn't matter. We'll talk wardrobe later. All right.
It'll be just like that scene in Flashdance, you know, where she
the water will come down.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It'll be a Carl Frisch...
I don't think anyone wants to see that.
It'll be a Carl Frisch wet thong contest. All right. Carl, love you.
Goodness.
See you next week, honey.
Have a good one.
All right, honey. See you next week.
Yeah, he was at a loss for words.
Sometimes I put my phaser on stunned.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, interesting, since we just came out of Right Wing World, Ravi writes, Staff, longtime listener to your show, we need the Sexy Liberal Show here in Orlando. The best we can hope for every year is the Glenn Beck Christmas sweater tour.
Ew.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I did consider calling this the Stephanie Miller, Kwanzaa thong, but that was in a go-to meeting, and that was roundly booed.
Yes, as well it should have been.
And the Sean Hannity Great American Tour, oh dear God, featuring the same three broken, out of work right wing bands from the 70s.
Yeah.
and broken Charlie down country
Daniels.
Singers.
Charlie exactly. Daniels always with them.
Exactly. We need you to bring us some sanity to Florida, please. Love, love, love. Well, interesting. We would love to. However, do we have any radio stations left in Florida?
Absolutely. We
yes,
have
we
Jacksonville.
Do. Jacksonville. Thank you, Jacksonville. However, Tim sent along some fun facts about our former stations. As you recall, we had a station in Miami that we did quite well on.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Which is Hasta La Vista now. Steph with the, Tim, speaking of radio stations, of course, you know your show was replaced in Miami with a piped-in sports show. I'd like to tell you what a great idea that was. There's now four all-sports stations in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale radio market. The best of these had a huge 1.0 in the spring book, followed by the next one with a 0.7. The station that carried you, a 50,000-watt daytime signal, didn't show up at all in the
wow.
Not at all.
I seem to remember...
I believe we had about three or four times the ratings of that station.
Yeah, I seem to remember us at least showing up in the ratings there.
Yeah, we actually did very well.
Yes.
I'm told three to four times what this station has now. Never mind. Okay. Just saying.
Who's the programming
genius I just
there?
Was saying, because I know that I probably read on the Radio Equalizer something about liberal radio failing. And
sure.
So, yeah, I'm sure that's where I read about that. Okay. All right. That was
snarky.
Just a little bit. All right. I got to tell you what. When you look at the budget monster being booed and 70% of Tea Partiers don't want to cut Medicare either.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people, these Republicans today? Who are they? 29 minutes after the hour, we'll talk about that next on the Stephanie Miller.
With David Bender.
Yes, with David Bender next.
Stephanie Miller.
In this business, the price of success is very high, especially for a woman. I don't suppose I'm the only one who's had to the way to the top.
Or the middle, as it were. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Hey, we have a big show coming up. Comedian Rick Overton live in studio with us.
That's
next
right.
hour. Comedian Judy Tenuta in hour number three, and Representative Elliot Engel all on the big show today. But this is that addictive time when you know you're going to go back, whether you want to or not. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
It's my house husband. Good morning, darling.
I'm here for the monkey funeral.
Yes, well, I'm Norma Desmond, and you're Norman Bates, and you frequently stay with me in my house here in L.A. And you're already sending Wemail on our behalf. We have plans for next time you're back.
I am sending Wemail, but I also wanted to hear you say monkey.
Monkey.
There we go.
Good morning, David Bender.
If I didn't pay $100 for that privilege, but yes. Nonetheless, it's just a joy to hear it. Are you hearing me okay?
Yes.
Are we good?
Yep. We are Skyping you in, and we're hearing you fine.
So, I via Skype.
Yes. David Bender, I was mentioning before the break, just not good news for Paul Ryan and the Republican Party. I'm sure you saw this poll. 70% of Tea Partiers don't want Medicare cut either. The Tea Party movement, of course, is supposed to be the engine driving Republicans' push for sharp cuts to spending and reform entitlements. Turns out Tea Partiers, like most Americans, strongly oppose cutting Medicare and Medicaid. The McClatchy-Maris poll shows 80% of Americans, 70% of Tea Partiers.
What? 70% of Tea Partiers are on Medicare. And that's not an exaggeration. This is a very older skewed group. And these people have been fed, you know, God knows, it's pablum. They've been fed it for a year and a half by Dick Armey that the Democrats are trying to take away your Social Security and your Medicare. So vote Republican. They do vote Republican. And the first thing Republicans do is try and take away their Medicare.
Yeah.
I would call it ballsy, but that suggests something that isn't present.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wanted to get your take, because you've been doing this a long time. You were Howard Dean's senior advisor. The New Republic's Jonathan Chait argued that, quote, the Ryan budget represents the victory of the Tea Party mentality over mainstream conservatism within the Republican Party. But it looks like Ryan's plan doesn't represent these activists either. Another analyst said either the normal rules of American politics have changed or Republicans have walked into an electoral buzzsaw.
This is a buzzsaw, rather like Sarah Palin's voice. There's no question. They have no idea what they're getting here. And the numbers across the board, Steph, you're looking at it with Republicans, independents, Democrats are 90-some-odd% against this plan. And, you know, the Republicans have voted for it. They have endorsed it. They are on record. The president is going to take this to them like driving to the basket for a layup. There is no way that they can run away from the fact that they are trying literally to remember George W. Bush tried floating the idea of privatizing Social Security, and that took him down in flames,
right.
Even suggesting it.
This is very reminiscent.
More than that. Mm-hmm. This is more than that. They voted for it. They're on record. Paul Ryan's got it. This is now a time where, and I will say, not wanting to be Pollyanna, The election numbers are tough for Democrats in the Senate. There are 23 Democrats up, some of whom are not running for re-election next year in 2012. Only 12 Republicans. The math argues that maybe the Republicans can pick up the Senate, but they may not be able to hold the House.
Wow.
And that's how bad this is.
Wow, that would be hilarious if that, I mean, because those are big numbers. Now, well, you know, speaking of, because I love this, I mean, one of our personal favorites, Keith Ellison, the rockin' congressman from Minnesota, I don't know if you saw him, you know, he's drilling one of these Republican guys when the Ryan budget, you know, came up. He said, when will this create a surplus? I mean, that's the other thing that this has exposed, David, is that this, I mean, this isn't doing, basically, I think Paul Krugman wrote a great piece on this, too. I mean, he's doing spending cuts to pay for tax cuts for the rich. It has nothing to do with the deficit. The Republican.
Exactly. When he was trying to explain this to seniors yesterday, and became, it was really an Eddie Munster moment. He's standing in front of seniors in his own district trying to explain that this is going to help them, and that in fact his budget, that there are top tax rates. He literally lied to these folks.
Yeah.
They booed him on it.
Oh yeah. It was a thing of beauty. Eddie Munster threw a little fit. I don't know if you heard it. I think we have the audio of that.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
No.
I won't go. I won't.
That's it. Eddie Munster does a town hall meeting.
But I love this.
I won't.
I love this. That they, so Keith Olson, you know, tries to nail this guy. Who is it? Todd Rokita, Republican of Indiana. Mm-hmm. He said, let me tell you when the Progressive Caucus, their budget comes to surplus 2021. The Ryan budget would create a surplus for the first time in 2040. Nearly, so our plan creates a surplus 2 decades ahead of Paul Ryan's plan. I mean, that's what's, I think, the major thing that's been exposed, don't you?
And again, you're dealing with actual math as opposed to this math that they use. You know, remember when our friend Karl Rove, who is not Carl Frisch, was saying that they're, you know, they don't have access, the liberals and progressives, and I think NPR didn't see the real math that Karl Rove saw. Well, this is that invented real math that they use to try and justify everything they're doing. They make up numbers. They say these are the numbers that we're working from. And right. Anytime anyone drills down, they say it's the liberal media bias.
Yeah, well,
against math.
Yeah, and I think, again, I would think it was Krugman that wrote a great piece about this, David, that the numbers, they got them from the Heritage Foundation. Mm-hmm. The Heritage Foundation comes, you know, they give them a study that proves whatever conclusion they want to prove and that no credible economist thinks is well, credible.
Those are the people that, when they do environmental research, that Bobby Kennedy calls biostitutes.
Yeah.
You know, they will come up with anything that, like Reagan used to say, that trees cause pollution. I mean, they'll come up with anything. Can I can I switch gears for a second?
Yes, indeed.
If we are talking about Madison, Wisconsin,
yes,
where the Sexy Liberal Show will be on Saturday night.
Thank you.
There is big news out of Madison.
Oh,
friends in Madison.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know. Go ahead. You go ahead. I was going to get to that.
Let me break it.
Go.
Joanne Kloppenburg, our friend Joanne Kloppenburg, announced yesterday that she is calling for that statewide recount.
Yep.
That she is entitled to, and
right.
And a couple of things have happened, Steph, which is really interesting. One is that she is challenging not only the numbers, because it's,
right,
you know, and I'm sure when you get to Madison, there will be boxes of ballots for Prosser just, you know, piled up outside the stage door.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because, you know, they're still finding them. Here's
the
thing. That she has also announced yesterday that, interestingly, she has three witnesses to a meeting that happened the day after the election, a one-on-one meeting between Prosser, the Republican justice who is claiming that he was reelected, and Governor Scott Walker. And she's asking for a probe into not only the vote, but whether or not there was direct collusion between Walker and Prosser.
Wow.
So this thing has a lot more layers of this onion that are going to get peeled back, and good on Joanne Kloppenburg
for
not just rolling over on it.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. I mean, we've said from day one it stinks to high heaven, and I'm, you know, as you know, some of our proceeds are going to UnitedWisconsin.com, which is behind the recall of Walker and the Republican 8, and we didn't know if, you know, she was going to need money for the recount, but thank God the state is actually paying for that.
Right.
So, yeah, we're
for it. But there could be legal challenges down the road. There are, however, now four Republican senators have had recall petitions filed. These are all districts that are now leaning Democratic based on this last election, so there's a real chance.
Well,
and these elections happen very quickly. By the summer, that the state Senate in Wisconsin could flip to Democratic control.
David, that's exactly right. That's what I was going to ask you. And again, in all your years of, you know, documenting politics, this is fairly unprecedented. So they've filed two more petitions against Republican senators. People don't realize how unusual this is. In all four cases now, organizers collected far more signatures than the 15,000 needed, did so weeks ahead of deadline. You're absolutely right. Democrats have a chance to regain control of the legislature.
Well, let me tell you how unprecedented this is. In the history of Wisconsin, in the history of the state, there have only been four recalls until now. So now there are going to be four more. They have doubled the number in the history of Wisconsin, which I think is a fairly long history. It goes back a ways. Having said that, there will be likely, just to tell our listeners in Wisconsin, that they've got to play defense as well. A couple of the Democrats, a couple of the courageous 14 who left the state rather than let this thing go through by Scott Walker, may get recall petitions filed. The Koch brothers have been paying for people to walk around and sign petitions. Those elections could happen at the same time. And what I predict right now is that those Republicans are in big trouble, and I think will hold the Democratic seats. That's going to be the test here, mm-hmm. is both sides are going to have a chance to say, okay, you want a recall, let's have them. And we'll see what the people will decide. I think it'll be fascinating.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the thing, Dave. A lot of people are like, oh, that's not going to happen. And I think they don't realize yet the sleeping giant they've awoken. I mean, obviously they plan to do the same against Walker once he's eligible for recall in January. And I would not count, the fine folks in Wisconsin out in this fight.
Oh, I would not be investing in Walker futures. If you're looking at the stock market, and by the way, the petition gathering for Scott Walker can actually begin. The election can't happen until next January. It can begin in November. And I will dollars to donuts right now that the day the clock strikes midnight that you can start gathering signatures, they will get those petitions in Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it's not just poll ratings. You're right, David. It's real political consequences. First in Wisconsin, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen our mutual girlfriend Rachel Maddow has been covering Michigan. They're filing petitions to recall Rick Snyder, who is doing almost an even more unprecedented power grab than Walker. I mean, it's amazing. It's like
he's literally trying to shut down towns
in
the state of Michigan. It's people should follow this. This is the grassroots democracy story. If you talk about and Rachel's framed it exactly what it is. It is big government. These people who rail against government are using the powers of government in unprecedented ways. Scott Walker in Wisconsin, Rick Snyder in Michigan, John Kasich in Ohio.
Yeah, it's an asshat off. They're having a douche nozzle contest between the three of them. I swear to God, it's just when you think you haven't seen something that awful, but then you go, what the hell is Snyder doing? I mean, it's just, he's taking land from poor people to make a golf course. Like, what?
If we put them in a sexy liberal thong, will we see their douche nozzle?
Yes, indeed we will. Thank you.
Okay, that's terrible. It's way too early for that image, actually.
Listen,
by the way, happy Passover.
Thank you, you too.
I've been here alone by myself. I had to find my own matzah. I killed a bottle of Manischewitz just by myself in your honor.
Me too. I've been drinking heavily in your honor watching Rachel alone. Thank you very much. Having my little Seder all by my lonesome. Fine.
You did not have a Seder. You did not have
a
Seder.
Sure I did. I'm pretty sure. I was drunk. I don't know what it was. There was an egg. I saw an egg.
It was an Easter egg, actually. Let's be clear. Right. I remember that egg.
Whatever.
But hopefully we will be able to find the matzah together next
week.
Yes,
exactly. The important thing is Hal Sparks has performed an Easter miracle on my dusty eggs and resurrected them. Just in time for the Sexy Liberal Show. David Bender, we'll see you next week this time.
Lots of love.
All right, honey, there he goes, David Bender. He's good. He knows stuff about stuff, about politics and stuff.
He's ran campaigns before.
Stuff. 47 minutes. That's
successfully,
on very exciting what's happening in Wisconsin. We're going to see if we can just give the Republican aide and, what do you call it, Governor Walker, a little shove.
Yeah.
A little shove with a little sexy liberal money.
A little sexy shove. What?
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
You okay over there? Anywhere.
You didn't give me my cue that you would like to give me sometimes when I'm not talking.
Talk! That's what I say.
See, that's what a producer does. There it is. Although sometimes you say talk whore. Sometimes you say that.
No, Rebecca says that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Carol in Chicago with some more breaking news out of Wisconsin. Electoral fun facts. Hi, Carol.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead.
A call into Ed Schultz's show yesterday indicated that I don't know which newspaper, one of the more liberal newspapers in Wisconsin, said yes, in fact. Are you aware of who Lena Taylor is?
Lena Taylor? No.
She's one of the 14.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. They tried to do a recall against her as a Democrat.
Yeah.
They gave up because they could only get 4 signatures.
Yeah, Carol, I was going to ask David Bender that, and I forgot. That's what I've been reading and hearing too. Is that although a lot of conservative activists are saying, "Oh yeah, we're recalling these Democrats too," nobody's filed anything, right? I don't know that they have the signatures. They, you know, it's mm-hmm. funny. I did an interview, Chris, yesterday for mm-hmm. our. I didn't realize it was a right wing station in Madison.
Oh,
to
really?
Promote my show, Carol, and it's like I suddenly was getting all the talking points on the other side, and I'm. You know, like everything's the same on both sides. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think you get 100,000 protesters in Madison bigger than during the Vietnam War.
Right.
If, you know, it's, yeah. you know, yeah, there's people on both sides of the issue, right? I mean, it's, yeah. yeah. All right, Carol.
But they gave up.
Yeah, that's what I heard. All right, Harold, thank you.
Really? That was a right-wing station?
Yeah, I got in a little spat. I didn't realize what I was getting into. He's very nice. He actually competes against me in my time slot, so it was a pre-recorded interview. So maybe he'll edit out some of the spat, but I... But he was giving me sort of the right-wing talking points about how, you know, it's all the same on both sides, really. Yeah, there's two sides of the issue in Madison. I'm like, really? Huh. Okay. All right.
Wow, I was not aware that this was a
right-wing... I wasn't either. Thanks a lot for getting me into this.
I had nothing to do with this. All of a sudden, you had this interview that you had to do.
No, he was fine. Okay. He was very nice. He was very nice of him to have me on.
Yes, it was.
All right.
Did you plug the show? The Sexy
yes.
Liberal Show?
Yes.
Good. Well, then that's all
that counts. I shouted right over his right-wing talking points. Good. Okay. Oh, speaking of right-wing talking points, that caller, who was it that we had, the right-wing caller we had yesterday, that this is a great point. Carol, the smartest girl in class today, right? Steph, I don't understand. Why is a person making $250,000 a year not making very much, but a public employee making $50,000 and receiving benefits overpaid? Thank you. That caller that's like, oh, that's not that. That's the talking point on the right.
Mm-hmm.
$250,000, that's not that much money, really. But those money-grubbing teachers making $50,000 with, you know, that happen to have a couple of benefits that we promised them, that's they're really money-grubbers. Okay.
Where's this money coming from that they're offering the people standing in the unemployment lines to call right-wing talk shows?
Left-wing talk shows.
Left-wing talk shows. Yeah. Where is this money coming from?
Coke Brothers. Those Coke suckers. Oh, yes. Speaking of which, oh, as if you needed something to make you matter coming out of Wisconsin and elsewhere. Coke Industries coerced employees during the 2010 midterms.
No.
Guess why? Because of Citizens United, yeah. In the Nation magazine, did you see this? The Coke Industries mailed letters to 50,000 employees instructing them on who to vote for in the 2010 midterm elections. The Coke packet, which they got a copy of and posted on the Nation. The Coke packet given to employees included candidate names, a letter from a Coke lobbyist, and a right-wing screed from the company and the Washington Examiner, which is owned by a billionaire who is close to the Coke family. Several law experts noted Citizens United frees Coke Industries and other corporations to propagandize their employees with their political preferences. Before the decision, businesses, of course, were prohibited from instructing their employees to vote a certain way. Not only was Coke active in helping push the Citizens United decision, but now, magically, he actively planned for exploiting the decision after it happened. Doesn't that work out well for them? Those Coke suckers. Okay. All right. Chris!
What?
I have a guess the quote for you. I mentioned this earlier, so it shouldn't be that hard. Who said last week President Obama offered a spirited defense of his party's values and affect the legacy of the New Deal and the Great Society? Immediately thereafter, as always happens when Democrats take a stand, the civility police came out in force. The president, we were told, was being too partisan. He needs to treat his opponents with respect. He should have lunch with them, work out a consensus. That's a bad idea. Equally important, it's an undemocratic idea. Who said that?
Casey Abrams.
No. Paul Krugman, in a delightful piece, Let's Not Be Civil.
Oh.
Who said 2 weeks ago the House Republicans released their big budget proposal, selling it to credulous pundits as a statement of necessity, not ideology, a document telling America what must be done. When the proposal was released, it was praised as a walk-approved plan that had been run by experts, but the quote-unquote experts in question, it turned out, were at the Heritage Foundation, and few people outside the hard right found their conclusions credible. Who said that?
Paul McDonald.
No, Paul Krugman in Let's Be Civil. Okay. And finally, who said, now Republicans claim last year's midterms gave them a mandate for the vision embodied in their budget, but last year the GOP ran against what it called the massive Medicare cuts contained in the health care reform law. And how then can the election have provided a mandate for a plan that not only would preserve all those cuts, but would go on over time to dismantle Medicare completely?
Pia Toscana.
No, Paul Krugman. who also finishes, for what it's worth, polls suggest the public's priorities are nothing like those embodied in the Republican budget. Large majorities support higher, not lower, taxes on the wealthy. Large majorities, including a majority of Republicans, also oppose major changes to Medicare. Thank you, Paul Krugman. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Peggy, on her first anniversary in heaven, we love you. Always invite Steph's listeners to join our fight against the disease that took you at PeggyFoundation.org. Love, Christian and Liam.
Aww.
That's a great one in time for Mother's Day. You can go to the sponsorship page at StephanieMiller.com to sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can find out information about Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show, which is starting this Saturday, April 23rd. That's in Madison. BarrymoreLive.com. Only a very, very few tickets left, so come see Mama and Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang this Saturday. Let's see, Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. And don't forget Syracuse, the big show.
Warning, the Department of Liberal Comedy has just issued a statement raising the laugh alert level for Syracuse, New York, to code orange.
John Boehner, not a color that appears in the natural world.
In an effort to protect the public from the side effects of John Boehner's curious orange hue.
You mean I'm going to stay this color?
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show has been dispatched to Syracuse, New York, home of the real orange men.
When are we going to stand up and take them on?
On Saturday, May 14th, at the On Center Krause Heinz Theater. Join Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and Stephanie Miller for an evening of perfect progressive brilliance and non-stop laughter.
That's at the top of our list.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the On Center Krause Heinz Theater in Syracuse, May 14th. It's the only antidote to John Boehner's orange, for the orange.
Yeah, you come along too, Ithacans. Bring your own frack water. All right. Hmm? Hey, speaking of comedy royalty, it's Emmy Award-winning voice DJ Jim Ward and Rick Overton in the same room at the same time. Hello.
Hello, darling. It's good to be back.
I love when your people send me your 17,000-page resume. I love when people send my friends' resumes to me because I know
everything
you've done.
Every YouTube. It's a lot of times it's a lot of padding. But
I know.
I'm stuffing a sock in there.
He's my friend. I know everything he's ever done. I know what it's time for. It's time for a dueling Sean Connery off with you and Jim.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, it's good to look at myself in the mirror.
Yes. Most things in this room don't respond well to compliments.
Except for us. I'm looking particularly smashing today.
I think it's the yam sack dragging through the brambles.
Yes. You'll have your sporran on. I have my sporran on correctly this morning. The breeze is blowing it leeward.
Could someone just say welcome to the Rock and then we can get out of this?
Welcome to the Rock. I'm glad to be an expert on this facility. I was once a guest here.
Thank you.
I've just got to get out of jail!
You threw in a little Nicolas Cage for us.
Jail's
thank you.
A rocky place where my life
rocky place.
All right. Good morning, Rick Overton.
Good morning, sweetness.
What have you been working on most recently? I can't keep track of you. You
spectacular CBS series called Chaos. It's yes. Like the unit meets MASH. It's yeah. These guys in the CIA who are more like Ray McGovern than like torturing on that other CIA show.
Yeah.
You know, and they never use a weapon, and it's a very cool show. We just got canceled.
Oh.
I don't know. Oh, thanks. And I'm hoping we can be either resurrected or picked up because it's got Tim Blake Nelson and Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah.
And
maybe if you make it more right wing, like 24, then it'll be
sure.
Forever.
That's the problem.
Maybe you can make
there.
Torture seem more fun.
No, it was a very cool, smart show, and that was fighting all that, and maybe that was the problem.
So, are you enjoying the political season thus far? It's a little bit freak show on the right for the presidential field, isn't it?
First they came for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and so it's just Wisconsin. It's not at my doorstep yet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, we were just saying that last
Kloppy's,
hour.
Kloppy's clopping back, though.
Yeah, well, wait, let's get a, let's see, a breaking news update, in fact, from Stephanie and Madison. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
It just, you know, it's true. They can't recall senators like John Erpenbach. I mean, that just, I think there might have been one or two signatures against him. But if Prosser stays in, we have problems here.
Right.
And especially, and here he's meeting with Walker. That is icky all over it.
Yeah.
And so we cannot waver at all.
Yeah, as Tom Brokaw would say, this is developing.
That's a developing
story
it's
in Wisconsin.
Horrible. And I'm just going crazy. I'm still just, you know, lose my voice every once in a while. But I cannot wait for you to come.
Aw.
I'm going to usher the first show at 6, and then I'm going to sit back and be an audience heckler at the 10 o'clock show.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's going to be just pure filth on the late show. All right, Steffi, see you then, honey. Bye. All right.
I can't wait for Tom Brokaw to announce that John Kloppenberg is going to declare the winner in Mount Milwaukee.
That'd be great.
It's rude to do the news with your mouth full.
You know, this is how close I am to Madison. I know who we all, you know who she is. I know who all these people are. I'm like, oh, Stephanie Madison. I know exactly what she looks like. We've been there so many times. Probably Jazz will be there. My motorcycle lesbian. Listen.
Awesome.
I know everybody by name in Madison, every single person.
Outstanding.
All right.
That's a brave, cool American town.
Oh, it's awesome.
And they serve you beer at 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, Jim and I did the show live there, and people were drunk at 8 a.m. It's my kind of town.
America. Now,
and we also have to... We have to purge them of the... you know what? We need to bring a Kleenex to wipe the blood from their ears because Sarah Palin was just there on last Saturday. And that is not a soothing sound in case you've heard it. Here we are.
These are the front lines in the battle for the future of our country.
Indoor voice.
She realized she has a microphone.
I know. Indoor voice, not even inside voice. You're just because you're outside, you still have a microphone.
Yes, I just picture,
microphones work outside.
I picture her in the mall shouting at children.
It's waterproof. It's okay.
This is what a dog hears.
Listen, I get these letters. Ashley writes, hi, Steph. I thought I'd let you know when you played that recording of Palin and her excruciating voice, my cat got very upset by the noise.
These are the front lines in the battle for the future of our country.
Please have a little courtesy the next time before wildly throwing around recordings of crazy Amazon hunter women. Can't wait to see you in Minneapolis.
Beefy won't come out from under the sofa.
I'm telling you, we do get letters about pet distress when we play. And that's why we do Fun with Sarah Palin audio. Someone asked us in the name of public service to pitch it down, which we did.
These are the front lines in the battle for the future of our country.
That's when the wings pop out from behind her back and point. The horns come out and flames shoot up like rocks, like a rock show on either side.
And then Sonny, even more immature than the person that asked us to pitch it down. Steph, please, oh, please, oh, please, now play the Salen soundbite too fast. Make her sound like Evil Kitten in Disney's The Emperor's New Groove. Tee-hee. Okay.
Right.
The Mouse Rebellion.
Kids
are immature. That's kind of heroic. I'd follow that in an animated way. Well, she'd be good
cute.
If she was a cartoon. It would add a dimension to her if she was too.
You and Jim both done a lot of animation. That's a little Evil Kitten.
That's totally Fievel Goes West.
Fievel.
Yes. Now, wait a minute. I think you're being totally unfair about this right now. I just want to speak on behalf of Sarah.
See, and these Tea Party crowds are getting so small, too, that they will have to have mini bands playing, like the Kiss mini band. And they're just little teeny groups of people. Mini bands.
Less makeup needed.
Exactly.
Less area.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just you have to do something. That voice is just, you guys are both voice experts, and it's too much.
Bible goes to Wasilla.
And Chris, you can confirm. You can confirm that I ask you to do the fun with audio when I'm drunk. I normally forward him stuff at cocktail hour. Okay, maybe speed it up now.
She requires the least amount of work.
Yeah, exactly.
To do any audio anything to. It's just it's messed up all on its own.
Yes.
I think she's got some hypnotic tone in her voice, and it triggers that weird nomen thing in certain psycho guys' heads, you know. And they just spin that old chair in the attic around a few times, like a DJ.
All right. I saved this for you now that I have two boys here. I thought I saved my sperm stack for a
sperm stack. Sweet.
The president, Squeezy, pay attention. Yeah. The president-elect of the American College of Surgeons resigned his position Sunday after weeks of controversy surrounding a Valentine's Day editorial he wrote touting the mood-enhancing effects of semen on women during unprotected sex.
Yeah. Mood-enhancing.
My.
As in, ew.
Dr. Lazar Greenfield said his many apologies have been ignored. I only hope that those who choose to judge me will read the article in the spirit in which it was intended. The editorial cited research.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. Jim's done extensive research in this area.
I've done the research.
That explains the white lab coat.
I swear to God, these studies are just their excuses for perverts to... Well,
there's a lot of perverts in research, yeah, I just yeah. gotta say. That's like all those guys doing animal research. Yeah. That's just where the sickos go to do weird yeah. stuff yeah. to animals.
But I'm wearing a white lab coat, so it's science.
That's right. And look what I discovered. I get a chubby.
Ah!
It keeps happening every time I do this.
It does a body good.
What do you do for a living? Oh, I study rat chubbies.
Mm-hmm. Rat chubbies. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Roll them up and go rat erections. Like that.
Yeah. The editorial cited research that found female college students who had unprotected sex were less depressed than those whose partners used condoms.
You betcha.
This is such a load of crap. It's speculated that compounds in semen have antidepressant effects. Mm-hmm. Well, no wonder I'm so depressed. It's not because I'm a single, elderly, shut-in, childless loser. It's because I don't get any sperm.
Semen verbum deus.
He wrote, so there's a deeper bond between men and women than St. Valentine would have suspected, and now we know there's a better gift for that day than chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Man.
White chocolate.
Happy Valentine's Day, sploosh.
Happy VD.
The editorial outraged many women in the field, some of whom said it reflected a macho culture in surgery that needed to change. Yes. Really?
Wow.
All right.
You know,
don't worry, it's a mood enhancer.
It's the same reason that big religion doesn't like...
Think of it as penis Prozac. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rick, yes?
It's the same reason big religion doesn't like homosexuality is because homosexuals don't make new religious people. Everything is towards the manufacture of the next human. It's really just business.
Yeah, it's all business thing. All right, speaking of business, oh, here's this segue. I use GoToMeeting for all my business. I couldn't live without it. Oh, God, I need a segue award of some sort. Are there awards for that?
You've won a new segue.
19 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Rick Overton, live in studio with us on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, I just had a great idea for the Sexy Liberal Show. I said, I'll just steal Rick Overton's act like everyone else does.
Yeah,
I'll have a Midwest distributor.
There you go. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12.
Chris from Yankton had a great quote on Sarah
yes.
Palin.
Yes.
Says, maybe Palin could branch out into screechy books on tape. She could adapt her Madison screech for Thomas Paine.
These are the times to try men's souls.
Pterodactyl screech. Yeah. Can you imagine her delivering the same Crispin's Day speech from Henry IV? Thespian gold. Maybe Sarah Palin and Mark Levin could read Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf together. possibly the CD would self-destruct in self-defense.
Oh, God.
I enjoyed her voice. Says a piece of chalk.
They swear to avoid a porcupine and drove straight into a large tree.
You could use it to sandblast your pool.
Hey, all the paint's off.
Thank you, Sarah and Mark.
Thanks.
There's an infomercial for it.
Hello and all of them.
It's like, ShamWow, those are irritating voices. Chris in Chicago. Hey, Chris. You're on with Rick Overton.
Hi. Oh, I am so sad that KS is canceled.
Oh, thank you. It was awesome, wasn't it?
Every week. And
yeah.
And it's a Bay Patrol with James Murray and Eric Close. And so funny that you gave the guy, the little guy, the powers. I mean, I think CBS just, they put you on Friday night. What crazy 8 stuff
8 o'clock Friday night. Everyone's just parking. They're looking for parking.
Yeah.
Gosh. Well,
write them.
Shop it around somewhere else.
Yeah, maybe you could go drop him a note and say
maybe
so,
I
too.
Could.
Get
maybe
your friends
you
to do the same.
This is news to me, so I'll be happy to do so.
Oh,
really.
You're
get
a sweetheart.
On that.
Thank all you,
right.
darling.
Thanks, Chris. Stop wasting time with us. Get on the phone to CBS, for God's sakes. my favorite still is your 6 feet under character, the religious right guy.
His wife saw this truck full of helium-filled love dolls busted open in a car accident, all floating up. She thought it was the rapture, and so she runs in the traffic to join him and gets hit by a truck.
And your character is just fine with it. You're just
and by
like,
the way,
that's what the Lord wanted.
In Chaos, Freddie Rodriguez.
Oh!
From Chaos. And so, once again, that's another connection right there. It's an amazing cast. It's got to come back.
Now, speaking of television, Donald Trump, wowee. you know, I just saw a graph of the TV ratings for The Apprentice, and now you know exactly why he's doing this.
Oh, wow.
I'm fired.
Yeah. An anonymous executive from NBC said, if he wants to spout off about things, we're happy to let him, but our inclination is that he's not serious about running. We think it's a stunt. The show certainly needs the bump. I guess it started at 20.7 million viewers, and they're down to like 8.8, and so they're saying it's fairly... And the thing I love is that he's...
No, 8.8 viewers.
Yeah, no, not millions, just 8.8.
Guy who had a tragic pressure accident. Yeah.
But the thing I love is, first of all, somebody made a really good point. They said he's not a great businessman. He's a celebrity businessman. I mean, they said they literally said,
but I'm huge.
The Apprentice,
I'm a huge celebrity.
It's
huge.
One of the only business successes he's had, actually, in recent years. His casino business filed for bankruptcy for the third time in 2009.
Yeah, everything that involves his decisions goes under. It's just when a TV exec, of all things, makes the decision for him, it'll hold for a few weeks.
Right. I mean, what I love, first of all, is he got his money originally, he inherited it, then he lost it three times, and we were saying, how can you lose money on a casino?
He's the only guy that can mess up eggs.
Because I'm a classy guy. I excrete class.
Got to put paper down. I ooze so much
Look,
glass.
here comes some more class. What's that smell? It's class.
The smell of gold-plated class. It's coming right out of my ass. Yeah,
I excrete gold plate.
I mean, it's like this Republican field is made for comedy, isn't it?
The jokes just leap into the boat like one of those weird fishing clips.
I'm the goose that crapped the golden egg. I'm yours.
Clank.
Melissa in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Melissa.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
Listen, back to your semen report.
Yes, yes, yes. All the breaking semen news here.
Wow.
The reason that women have periods that last 5 to 7 days is because semen is so bacteria laden that it takes that long to flush it out.
Ah.
Why?
Wow.
Isn't that disgusting?
Enjoy your breakfast.
Thanks for that.
Fire them eggs up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Where's the holiday sauce? Oh, never mind.
I don't want to pick sides in the gender war. I think it's time for everybody to team up. I remember a time
can't
when
we all just get along.
Can't we just get along?
No matter what
or
sex
short,
you,
can we get a short?
No matter what sex you are, that was disgusting, and we thank you for that. All right. Battle of the sexes is over now. We're 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Rick Overton on Stephanie Miller.
She puts the party in partisan.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a drag, a well-known drag. We turn the sound down on her and say rude things.
That's a bad word on the radio, they get things wrong.
It's me. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button.
Show them the shots, Adrian.
Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Or as one of the Beatles would say, Stephanie. Okay. Right. I just wanted to hear it in that voice. All right.
Hi, doing the word Stephanie.
It's like having my own voice spot 2000.
I'm quite prepared for that eventuality.
Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire. He's just agreed to stay for hour number three.
Tricking people, happy to be here.
Tricking people into doing things for free. It's what we do here.
Untie me. How dare you?
Sit there and do the voices.
The dog gets it.
John in California on Trump. Hey, John.
Hey, Steph. I think the reason that they don't take Trump off of NBC is because NBC is essentially the MSNBC of the networks. Without Trump, their biggest show is their most popular show is The Biggest Loser, which comes in about 35 each month.
Yeah.
So it's the equivalent. They used to count ratings differently over there. You know, you go to MSNBC, you can gather up all of the ratings of all of their top hosts, and they don't equal, you know, the population of one city.
Well, that's true for all of cable. I mean, that's true of all of cable. They talk about Glenn Beck's ratings. It's like less than 1% of Americans watch Glenn Beck. So it's, you know.
But you're not going by the total number of Americans. You're going by the total number of people that are watching cable TV at that time.
Yeah.
And
right. But what my point.
Half of the TVs that play that stuff are just TVs at an airport and sports bar that don't have a remote to them.
I know, but even in Los Angeles, where equal access to MSNBC and Fox. Fox kills them every show.
Yeah, but nationwide, Fox is on way more systems. You have to pay, you know.
But so don't go nationwide. Just go city by city. Go in Manhattan, for instance.
Right. Well, guess what? TV doesn't work like that. MSNBC is very profitable. They have everything in cable is niche now, right? Am I right? You know, you've worked in cable. I mean, it's all niche. There's so many channels, and MSNBC does very well.
We got to go back to some of those TVs are on, but it isn't a voluntary click to the channel thing. Right. It's set and locked on that channel.
Yep.
Sports bars are locked on that channel. Airports are locked on that channel. No one sitting waiting for a flight gets a remote to switch the channel.
Yeah. And MSNBC isn't available in some hotel rooms.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Crappy porn is, but that.
Yeah. You know this?
I've been told.
All right. Anthony in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to get your viewers updated on what was going on in Ohio. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but the Senate Bill 5 was recently signed by our governor, and fortunately we have a provision in Ohio law that will allow us to take this bill to referendum. Senate Bill 5 is taking away the collective bargaining rights of teachers, firefighters, policemen, and all public employees in Ohio, and it's in a lot of ways a lot worse than the Wisconsin bill that they're fighting right now.
No, they're having an ass hat off, John Kasich and Rick Snyder and Scott Walker. I'm not sure who's winning. All right, Rick Overton, are you the president was at Facebook yesterday. Here he is.
My name is Barack Obama, and I'm the guy who got Mark to wear a jacket and tie.
We're going to have to go back and redo the movie.
Yeah.
Social Network.
Yeah, exactly. Are you a social media person? Because we frequently have little old crotchety spasms on the show.
I don't understand
my people.
I only traffic the anti-social network.
Why do people Twitter their... You know, significant others. I don't get it.
I'm finally catching up. I know it's the only way to stay relevant in the modern world. Yeah. Or that train will pass you by, so I'm on Facebook now. I'm going slow with my Hunt and Peck typing on my iPad.
Well, Joe's moving kind of slow at the junction.
You're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter, and I got to twit more. But I gotta get to it more. I don't always have something to say, and I don't want to say nothing. I have to come up with more to say.
Sit there.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my digital lawn.
To me, there's always a downside. The FBI says a man charged with robbing five Detroit area banks was caught after investigators matched him to photos on Facebook.
Oops.
There were photos on Facebook of him wearing the same clothes he wore during the robbery.
Good plan.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is stupid.
Yeah.
You think after the robbery, you can go out shopping, you know?
This is the downside. People just feeling they need to post everything about themselves.
Oh, last night I robbed the bank. And oops.
Oh,
Dilly, dilly, dilly.
Oh, no.
Oops.
Yeah, it's like the guys that video themselves doing a crime.
Yeah.
And then they catch the tape, you know, so stupid.
Now, oh, speaking of news, Rick, I know you'll understand this as a comedian. I have expressed the wish before on the show. I would like to die a funny death so that, you know, so the it'll be like a Chuckles the Clown funeral.
Outstanding.
And the one of the ones that I would have chosen is a woman was on a whale-watching trip during mating season, and she was crushed by a giant whale penis. And that, I think,
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
We're back to sperm again.
Well, it wasn't a sperm whale.
It was a sperm whale. It was a humpback. Humpback? What? That just knock it off, everyone. Blowhole, come on.
Humpback. Can we try a different position for once?
I would make Jim do the eulogy as Tom Brokaw or Kim Jong-il or something. It, you know.
Today, Lorelei Miller was deliberately... I'm running out of L words.
Moby Dick, for crying out loud!
All right. Anyway,
stop throwing these lines at me!
Oh, and there is a penis museum in Iceland that we had talked about, and there's also they've got a whale penis, so I could also maybe
call
in a museum.
Ismail.
Yeah, that's where they got the word dork from.
Yeah. Okay.
Dork is a whale's unit.
Yeah.
That's where the phrase came from, yeah.
That sounds better than umlaut. Dirk.
Dirk.
A Dirk.
Yeah, that's like Bjork's opener.
You can't get Bjork without the Dirk.
Okay, Julie writes, Mama, after the newsworthy bizarre end you aspire to, be it death by whale penis accident or falling face first into a box of wine and being unable to right yourself because Max leaps on your back to snuggle, you'll certainly want to have made arrangements for a fitting send-off where all your fans, lovers, mooks, stalkers, and right-wing love muffins can cruise by and give you one last honk. Did you see this in L.A.? We have a
drive-by
funeral parlor now in Compton. Located just a skip and a jump here from Burbank. Drive-through in Compton with glass encased chamber for coffin offers convenience to mourners. It also provides a speedy way for well-known community members
to be
viewed en masse.
I'll have an unhappy meal.
Do you want formaldehyde with that?
With your fries? Or would you like ketchup? Yeah, this story is bizarre. I'm reading it in the LA Times. A handful of drive-through funeral parlors are known to operate throughout the nation. We have one here in Los Angeles. The owner said, you can come by after work. You don't need to deal with parking. You can sign book outside. The family knows you paid your respect. It's a convenience
thing. And Elvis will do the eulogy.
It's a chain called Drop and Stop.
In and out and dead, something. Let's see. He said the venue provides a speedy way for well-known community folk to be viewed en masse. I don't know. This is a little ironic. The drive-through glass partition is bulletproof in case someone really didn't like you and wants to really be sure you're dead.
She's going to have company. Ping, ping, ping.
In case you're not dead enough, I guess. They want to make sure the glass is bulletproof.
Back's still moving.
For particularly hated community members.
Yeah. Oh, the guys from Bell. Yeah, those guys. Are,
yeah. The guys that were getting overpaid.
They got bulletproof glass in the drive-thru funeral.
That belonged in the Isn't It Ironic file.
So you can do a drive-by at the drive-thru
so
funeral.
That's so great. Oh, man.
Oh, dear,
that's
not.
All right. I love when life writes the joke.
Exactly. All right. Mark Zuckerberg and Obama at Facebook yesterday.
What specifically do you think we can cut in order to make this all add up?
Well, let me first of all, Mark, share with you sort of the nature of the problem. The Republican budget that was put forward, I would say, is fairly radical. I wouldn't call it particularly courageous.
Yeah, isn't it? It's amazing, Rick. This is what we always talk about in the mainstream media. You know, before people really had a chance to look at it. Just, oh, isn't this bold and serious and courageous, Paul Ryan's budget? And it's just, like, this is what Paul Krugman wrote about it. So let's not be civil. Instead, let's have a frank discussion of our differences. In particular, if Democrats believe that Republicans are talking cruel nonsense, they should say so and take their case to the voters.
Yeah.
It is cruel nonsense to cut Medicare to give further rich tax cuts to the rich.
The major progressive or liberal or democratic, which are not always associated with each other anymore, a problem is that the polite side on the left will, their big problem is they'll go up to a liar and say, sir, are you a liar? And the liar goes, no, because they're a liar. And they go, well, you heard it here first.
Yeah. The liar says he's not a liar.
Yeah, as opposed to,
I don't have to leave it there.
Yeah, right. We have to stop caring what they say. And say what the truth is, because everyone. How can we?
Oh, that's
be,
so rude.
How can we know? And the news guy doesn't know.
But the truth is so rude.
That's why CNN's ratings are even worse. Fox or MSNBC, because they have no point of view at all.
That's
they always have to leave it there.
Well, I have to leave it there. I'm uncomfortable with points of view.
That's, we got to start making littering tickets for them leaving it there.
I think that's the sole reason they put Jack Cafferty on, is just to make Wolf Blitzer uncomfortable.
Wolf, you're an idiot. You're the stupidest sack of... Well, I've
Wolf heard. Blitzer. I mean, once you get a name like Blitzer, who throws a wolf in front of that? Who does that intentionally,
like a comic book character.
I picture you as a Viking warrior on the prow of a ship.
You will be Wolf Blitzer.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. 45 minutes.
Who does that? That's messed up.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with more with comedian Rick Overton.
Maker of lightning.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. Oh, Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, now that something I wrote made Rick Overton burst into that infectious, albeit vaguely disturbing giggling, I'm going to go ahead and arrange my own drive-by funeral now. She can die happy, though. She made Rick Overton laugh.
I have a silly laugh. I'm sorry. I'm a 6'4" giant with this little tiny squeaky laugh. My dad had the same thing. Can't explain it.
It's
Barney
cute.
Rubble.
Yeah, right. Giant, big, fat caveman with a big, high laugh.
It's cute as bug's teeth. All right. The president at Facebook again.
What
yesterday.
Facebook allows us to do is make sure this isn't just a one-way conversation. Make sure that not only am I speaking to you, but you're also speaking back.
Yes, although Paul Ryan would prefer that they don't have those kind of town hall meetings where people can actually express their opinions back to him.
Yeah, right. I'm serious. I have a serious plan. It said in all the papers. Shut up, stupid duty heads.
The budget monster.
I won't. I won't answer the questions. I won't. I won't. I won't.
That is eerie. He does sound eight. All right. The president, however, loves town hall meetings.
I love doing town hall meetings. This format and this company, I think, is an ideal means for us to be able to carry on this conversation.
Yes. And then he was talking about how many, you know, friends he has.
I've got 19 million friends, which which only puts me 500,000 friends behind SpongeBob SquarePants.
He's one of our funnier presidents, don't you think?
Yeah, better writing staff.
Yeah, exactly. Carl in Chicago on the Icelandic Penis Museum. Hello, Carl.
Hey, this is the official Norse mythologist of the stuff you know.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Hello, Carl.
Wow.
I was actually at the Icelandic Penis Museum last summer while I was on honeymoon. Uh-huh. And I learned that a wolf blitzer is a technical term for a lupine erection.
Really?
A wolf blitzer.
Really?
I am Wolf Beowulf.
Good Tours Day to you, by the way.
Exactly. All right. One more time, Obama at Facebook yesterday.
If we don't have a serious plan to tackle the deficit, that could actually end up being a bigger drag
on the economy than anything else.
It's a drag. It's a well-known drag.
Yeah. But that's the, you know, what's been exposed, I think, about the Budget Monsters plan, as we were saying earlier, is it doesn't do anything for the deficit. I mean, that's the thing. They say, oh, it's about the deficit. It basically is cutting so that you can, for tax cuts, so you can give more tax cuts to the rich.
We have to stop believing any whistling noise out of their head. Stop believing them. Just automatically wear your I don't believe you helmet.
But it's a
whenever
serious,
they talk.
Serious, bold whistling.
Yeah, right. It's got to be Charlie Brown adult speak.
Yeah. By the way, I was mentioning yesterday, Rush Limbaugh sounds like just a version of that. It's all the same now.
That's what a dog is.
Michelle Obama. That's all I hear.
Ginger.
Yeah. Yes. Like the Gary Larson cartoon.
Blah, 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 ginger. Ginger. Blah, 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 blah.
All you hear is cookie.
What? Squirrel.
All right, Obama.
That allows people like me and, frankly, you, Mark, for paying a little more in taxes.
I'm cool with that.
I know you're okay with that.
It doesn't affect poor people like the Winklevosses. It only affects rich people like Mark Zuckerberg. Winklevi. The Winklevi.
Yeah.
Twins.
The running of the Winklevi.
You cannot afford to pay the taxes.
Those guys are too, they're too perfect looking anyway. They have enough money. I'm done with
them.
They
have a whale penis.
They share one. It's yeah.
That's right. Yeah. We're attached. That's why you always see us together.
All right. Last president.
$4 a gallon gas really hurts a lot of people around this country. It's not because they're wasteful, but if you're driving 50 miles to work and that's the only job you can find, and you can't afford some hybrid, so you're stuck with the old beater that you're driving around that gets 8 miles a gallon. These gas prices are killing you right now. And so this is the reason why I've said that it is so important for us to invest in new approaches to energy.
And to get a whole new economic team, because it's Wall Street speculating that's causing the gas prices to
survive. Right.
Oh, by the way, well-known, what's his name? The insurance defraud or steroid user car thief?
Daryl Issa.
He, on the oil spill anniversary, he blames Obama for crushing the Gulf with an assault on offshore drilling.
What?
Huh? They just got permits for a bunch more offshore drilling.
Yes.
Stop believing any whistling sound out of their head.
Issa tweeted the Gulf Coast is reeling because of, not because of the disaster, Jim, because of Obama's job-crushing energy policies.
Right. Mm.
ISIS committee, by the way, has not held a single hearing. It's one of the most devastating corporate crimes in American history that BP perpetrated under.
A-I-L. Assume it's a lie.
Yeah.
There you go. We were talking about your religious right character you played on 6 Feet Under, Rick. Take your organ out for me, could you? And you mentioned gay rights, etc. I thought this is kind of encouraging. I mean, first of all, we've had the first couple of national polls showing the majority of Americans is for gay marriage, which is huge.
Yeah. Huge. Huge.
As Donald Trump would say.
Whale penis huge.
It's whale penis huge, these numbers.
Dork huge.
Battles for acceptance by gay and lesbian students have erupted in the places that expected the least. Scores of Bible colleges and evangelical universities that in their founding beliefs see homosexuality as a sin. Decades after the gay rights movement swept the country's secular schools, more gays and lesbians at Christian colleges are starting to come out of the closet, demanding the right to proclaim their identities and form campus clubs and rejecting suggestions to seek help in suppressing homosexual desires. They spring from a new generation of evangelical youth that overall hold far less harsh views of homosexuality than its elders.
And they said, hallelujah!
And there's lots of them. The right wing is a clown car full of closeted guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can't just get, there's room for one more.
Yeah.
Just get them in there. Come on. Use a shoehorn.
Yeah.
The party of people don't like themselves very much.
Yeah.
And that's why it's easy to turn on everyone else.
Speaking of people that don't like themselves very much, Ted Nugent launches homophobic rant in response to the NBA fining Bryant for using a gay slur.
Hmm.
You know, Kobe Bryant called a referee the F-word for gay man, and was fined. So Ted, why does anyone quote Ted Nugent? And now here I go.
Ted Nugent.
Oh, boy. He, in a column headlined NBA's Gay Gag Order, Ted Nugent criticized the NBA for fining Kobe Bryant for using a gay slur, writing that Bryant committed this egregious verbal foul because he used a word demeaning to homosexuals, the most protected class of people in America, and those among us who work tirelessly to shut down and shout down if the need arises. Speech they disagree with must also be absolutely gay with pride and satisfaction over this fine. He wrote if the NBA had any true convictions, they would host a homosexual night during which homosexuals could come down on the court, hold hands, and prance around the court to music by the Village People. The NBA could give them each homosexual pink basketball as a symbol of solidarity.
How long is it before the Nuge is caught with a rent boy?
I know. Yeah,
that's right. He's wearing a Cupid outfit, and he's bow hunting, you know.
He flipped me off once.
I want to wear your pelt.
He flipped me off once on Politically Incorrect. That's before he knew I was gay. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, comedian Rick Overton live in studio with us. We were just looking on CNN that your iPhone can track you now.
That's right, and it has a very, very specific activation device. When it asks you for permission to show your location, and you say, don't allow, starts
That's
tracking you from that moment on.
Bastard people.
Yeah, as soon as you say, don't track me, it's like, why don't you want me to track you?
You're doing something wrong, obviously.
That's not suspicious. All right.
You'll be bunking with Bradley Manning soon.
Yeah, right.
If you want to track Mama, she will be in Madison, Wisconsin this Saturday for the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. Go to BarrymoreLive.com. Just a very few tickets left for the late show, I believe. Syracuse, Saturday, May 14th. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. You can go to Ticketmaster.com for all those other ones. Oh, the code word is sexy.
For Boston.
I'll be starting the middle-aged, balding, and achy liberal tour. It's just me on Facebook.
Rick Overton is... Oh, well, speaking of which, somebody writes... Let's see, who is this? Michael says, Steph, I haven't heard anything about an L.A. show. I would give anything to see that, all the while trying not to shard my assless chaps. I'm not sure why he needed to share that. Please come to L.A. If we do an L.A. show, perhaps we can get some local brilliant residents like Jim Ward and Rick Overton to drop by.
Sure, some people think I'm sexy.
I think you're very sexy.
Oh,
you
I
think I'm
need
sexy, and you like me more.
Too sexy for my hair. Too sexy.
That's exactly.
I'm too sexy for my hover-around. Too sexy for my hover-around.
For my rascal.
Speaking of L.A., Dan in Seattle writes, Steph, I know I love your show, but I have to wonder what sort of life you live. You didn't know L.A. has a subway system. You don't know there's still Sears, and now you don't know what a culvert is? Are you going to have some sort of attendance or chaperones or something when you're on tour? I worry for you. Otherwise, there's a lot of culverts and Sears in the Midwest. I don't leave my house, which is, I think that's the whole plot of this tour, is just to get
there maybe a Sears right over a culvert.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I knew there was a Sears. I didn't know about culverts. Who knew there's a subway system?
I've taken the subway, but I think a culvert is like a Midwestern term for a ditch, what the rest of us call a ditch. Yeah.
I should know that.
A valley is a giant culvert.
I should know that, considering the amount of times I drive this show right into one. Yeah.
there are lots of them in Culvert City.
And you can come out on stage wearing Sears tough skin pants. Wear some tough skins.
There you go.
Mom, I want real jeans.
Jackie from Fargo, the place, not the movie, says,
is that your partner in the wood chipper?
Oh, they are throwing a malfeasance up near Brainerd.
Exactly. Let's see. We are going to be in Minneapolis. When did I say? Oh, for the love of God. June 18th, we'll be in Minneapolis.
Sweet.
Tickets going fast for that one already. Go to Ticketmaster.com. Steph, my birthday is June 19th. I just found out you're coming to Minneapolis. It's about a four-hour drive from Fargo.
Oh, God.
But I might have to give myself a gift and come up and see your show. Oh, I think you should.
I think I'm going to buy it.
And all the beautiful scenery you'll see as you're driving the 4 hours.
Of course, in the winter, it'd be a 12-hour drive, I think.
Exactly.
That's right.
There's some, I'm telling you, crazy people with this Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Richard writes, Steph, I'm not sure I'm not the first. I want to ask you to bring your Sexy Liberal Show to Chicago, home of WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk. Woohoo! But regardless of when you come here, I want to let you know I'll be driving to Madison on Saturday with my wonderful boyfriend and another friend. We'll be the two tall gay men and the short Latina. Oh, there's going to be lots of those. How am I supposed to know which ones you are?
That narrows it down.
P.S. I totally have carbonite, and my workplace has it, too. And each installed, use your promo code. That's the kind of listener I like, driving state to state to see my show and buying everything I tell you to buy.
That's it. It's the anti-boycott.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, it's a girl cut.
Girl cut, exactly.
Nicely handled.
All right. Of course, comedy royalty here in the studio and on the phone. We may explode. We may explode with the comedy royalty. Judy Tenuta, it joins us now.
Yay!
That could happen.
Yes! It could happen. How are you?
Hi, Judy Tenuta.
Hi, darling.
Hi. Is this Rick Overton?
That's me, sweetheart. How are you?
Oh, my God. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
He's one hot sex donkey.
I feel like we're just hanging out at the improv again, where you'll be this Saturday.
That is true. I will be there this Saturday, 2 days from now.
At 8 o'clock, it's going to be the full hour show, correct?
That is correct.
You're awesome.
You are. Yeah. I love when you were on CNN or, you know, Reman, all those idiots like Charlie Sheen and all those guys.
Reman those idiots.
I have to take issue with that pig because he's calling those live-in hoes goddesses.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, they're stealing your act.
Blasphemes. They are porn pockets.
Porn pockets.
You know.
Leave them in the microwave.
Now in Cool Ranch flavor.
I have to ask both of you professional comedians who've spent a lifetime working on your craft what you think about Charlie Sheen charging $100 a ticket to ramble.
I mean, he can charge whatever he wants. If the people are stupid enough to do it, then...
Yeah.
But it's just like, right, he's suing ABC for $100 million.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, please. Go back to sleep.
It's a desperate cry for renewal.
Right. Oh, and then, of course, you heard that he is now considering, because he's babbling incoherently.
Right.
And what better, predisposition than to run for president? With
yes.
That, right? So he says he may think of running for president. And, which is perfect because, you know, Donald Trump is now running on the Whig Party.
Yes.
I should have thought of that.
What, cut to 2013. Please welcome President Charles Sheen.
Oh, God. And he's a birther. Did you see that?
Oh, well, that was upsetting. Yeah, I was kind of shocked at that. But, he should be on the ticket with Trump and Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sarah Palin and Trump and I are going to spend our whole term looking for each other's birth certificate.
Yeah.
I love that you said you were shocked at that. So the tiger blood and the other stuff is fine, but a birther, now that's crazy.
Tiger's blood is kind of rad, kind of, but then to say, oh, yeah, I don't believe he was born in this country. Okay. And by the way, he should be very happy. This country, we have 50,000 more jobs at McDonald's.
Yes, I heard that.
That's pretty good. Yesterday I got a Happy Meal. I bit into a Happy Meal and spit out a smart car. improving, guys, they really are.
I didn't know they put prizes in their food.
No, in the Happy Meal they have the little toy.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
You need to keep up with pop culture.
Exactly. Now, when Charlie Sheen said I was born here, he did the birther thing, the audience cheered. But these, of course, are people that paid $100 in tickets to see Charlie Sheen.
And don't forget, they're totally stoned and drunk, and they don't know what they don't even know what that means, birther.
Now, I don't know what your weirdest heckle ever is, but somebody at the Charlie Sheen concert yelled, "Shut up and say something weird."
That's actually really kind.
Yeah.
You know?
That's my favorite heckle since someone yelled at my friend Paul at Yuck Yucks in Buffalo in the 1980s, shave your neck before he ever said anything.
Oh, right. That is a yeah. good one.
Yeah.
That's good. That's not even a heckle. That's yeah. a very important suggestion.
My favorite comeback ever, it was a female comedian, now I forget who, but a guy yelled out, what are you, a lesbian? And she said, what are you, the alternative?
Yeah.
What are
right.
you, the reason?
I still switch back for him. I don't think so.
Now, if you...
Yeah, and speaking of jobs now, of course, jobs are improving. They're going to be sippy cup testers at Applebee's.
Really?
Well, yes, yeah, sippy cup. Oh. Well, because they're giving all those kids liquor.
Yeah. That's right.
Babies to babies.
Yeah.
No wonder the kids are being patted down at the airport. They're walking in there stone drunk.
Exactly. Now,
they can't even crawl straight. I don't know.
See, this is real comedy. If you want more, you see, your CD is available now. The Best of Judy Tenuta, Attention Butt Pirates and Lesbitarians.
But I also have, yes, that's true. I do have that. And I have a few other albums like In Goddess We Trust.
Yes. A space goddessy.
A space, oh, yes, uh-huh. that's right. A uh-huh. space goddessy.
The Power of Judaism.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's kind of a, yeah, that was after my book, so.
And I don't, the DVD that caught my eye was Butch Camp. What's that about?
Oh, yeah, the DVD, that's a movie I was in, and so that's from a while ago.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, no, it's good, it's good. It's, yeah, it's a fun movie, Butch Camp.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I get to play sort of this drill instructor to get gay men to be tougher and fight back to the straights.
Okay. I got it. Now, by the way, you mentioned Sarah Palin earlier. Here she is in Madison last week.
These are the front lines in the battle for the future of our country.
Yeah. God. She has lowered her voice in everything. Oh, God. No. She's, you know, I think she's losing it a little. Well, I mean, she's already lost it. But what I mean by that is I think she's losing her popularity.
Well,
after,
right.
You know, kind of after you have a reality show where she's like, yeah, make sure you tune in and watch me because you can see me kayaking in my Spanx.
I think someone noted that as her poll ratings go down, her voice goes up several yeah. octaves. It's going to just shatter glass soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Judy Tenuta is at the Melrose Improv here in Los Angeles, 8 p.m. this Saturday, April 23rd. JudyTenuta.com is the website. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. And you too, Rick.
Love you, Judy.
Hey, I'll see you later.
See you later.
Starbucks. Well, yeah.
She's hilarious. 18 minutes after the hour. Back with more with Rick Overton, the comedian extraordinaire, live on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, comedian Rick Overton live in studio with us. Representative Elliot Engel coming up after the bottom of the hour. Could you take out your organ for me? We say our goodbyes now to the color-coded terror alert system.
Oh.
Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary Janet Napolitano.
Our goal is to make it more difficult for them to succeed, and to do so by in certain times advising people what to look for based on intelligence that we have. But also advising people on how to protect, how to prepare, how to protect themselves, how to protect their families.
Well, one place to start is not having Bush and Cheney in office.
that's helped so far in not having another terrorist attack on our soil. Yeah. I always wondered if Tom Ridge was gay. Where did that color-coded lyrics? What did it mean? I never knew what any color meant.
Well, today we're on fuchsia.
Salmon. Yeah. Do they want salmon?
Yes, exactly. When things are bad, it goes, it's fuchsia. It just screams Iuga. It
goes straight from salmon to...
When things are calm, it's like a happy face yellow. Yeah, okay, so that's bye-bye. That's the...
sort of a morose chartreuse today.
No one ever knew what color meant to do what.
Okay, do we panic on red, or...
Or should we wait to panic?
What about green? How about good days?
Well,
green, you got a little money in your pocket.
Well,
yeah.
You know what,
a green alert.
You know what happens when the color's brown.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Jim in Seattle. Yeah, it's time to yourself. Things are bad.
Hey, Stephanie.
Jim in Seattle.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes,
hey,
good.
The reason that some of the GOP/Tea Party are losing their ratings and going downhill, number one, they're all fighting with one another like little kids. Second of all, they lied to us in their campaigns in November. They said, we're going to create jobs. We're going to balance the budget and do everybody a favor. All they're doing is attacking education. They're still outsourcing jobs. They've not come up with one jobs bill.
Yeah, they're not doing you're exactly right, Jim. They're not doing anything they ran on. There was no mention made of abolishing Medicare and giving further tax cuts to the rich. I don't recall that. Do you?
Yeah. Anyway, and now after the Scott Walker deal in Wisconsin, hello, we've all woken up to that. We all see what they're up to and what they're going on. They continue to lie in the media, and we're getting tired of it. We all can see it.
Yep. Yep.
And as far as I'm concerned, they're going to fall hard here pretty quick.
Yep. Yep.
I'm going to love every second of it.
Yep, I'm living with you, Jim, with you. All right. You know that blowhole from the Catholic League? What's his name, Chris? Yes. I sometimes am forced to debate him, Rick, on CNN.
Yeah, I've seen it. You handle yourself.
I always have to stumble into some sort of hypothetical minefield with him. He's just like, oh, well, if Madonna jumped out of an oven and did a... Jewish, you'd support her, wouldn't you? And I'm like, what? But no, but she didn't, and huh?
Yeah, don't pull that on a comic. We'll shred you when you pull that game with us. So that's we use that technique. It doesn't work on us.
He's on Lady Gaga now. I don't know who wrote this piece, but I love this. Sometimes it seems like pop stars and Catholic League head Bill Donahue must have a promotional deal. They use controversial religious imagery, and he gets on television to complain about it.
Yeah. Nice.
In reality, they're talking to each other. Yeah. Is I peed on a cross? No, not enough. No. What should I do?
What does it take? What does it take with you people?
He probably like his phone bank. It's like Madonna on line one, Lady Gaga on line two. Yeah. Hang on. I gotta make some suggestions. He's the one suggesting it, just so that he has something to act. Because this is all he does, basically, is complain about imagery.
Where's my next non sequitur reference? I need it now, Stat.
Lady Gaga will release the video to her newest single, Judas, in which she plays Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday. And, of course, Donahue will be on Fox News. Yeah. Oh, he was on Fox News. He suggested that she try targeting Muslims rather than Catholics.
Great.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
We need more violence and uprising.
He said, I'm simply saying, why does it take fear as a motivational ethic on the part of some people to respect Muslim rights? Do they want Catholics to pick up a machete in order for them to get their rights?
Rights?
Oh, my God.
Rights.
Catholics' rights.
And this part was a little creepy. He said to Lady Gaga, you hang out with Bill Donahue, I'll buy you a beer, honey, and maybe we can straighten you out. Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Smooth
that
talker.
Sounds like fun.
Get the off-road vehicle for this smooth talker.
I'll bleep the gay right out of you.
Yeah. That's the book of the lonely guy.
Right.
People don't go for that much.
Oh, boy. All right. This one. We were just talking about your iPhone. Yeah. It can track you. Courtney Cox was worried David Arquette was gay when she thought he had downloaded an iPhone dating application. Grindr, it's a phone app that allows gay men to see other gay men nearby, was on her iTunes account. She automatically assumed it was him. First of all, no gay man in the world would dress like that. There's no way. Anyway, it turned out it was her assistant. Her gay assistant, which isn't everyone's assistant gay? I think so, in Hollywood.
It's the law.
I don't have an assistant. I need to get me one of those.
I need a gay assistant.
Man, I just use my iPad.
Exactly.
That's my only assistant.
Exactly. All right. We have much, much more. We have more celebrity stack. We have more Rick Overton. And we have Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The nicest, sweetest, coolest girl at the pageant. And this year's Miss Congeniality.
Oh, thank you. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio. And we are awaiting Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York. Oh, this is good entertainment news. Look at this. Our friend Jerry Seinfeld canceled on Donald Trump over his birther comments. He was supposed to do a benefit for a...
Who are these people?
Yeah, exactly. Really? He's not a birther person, apparently.
Man.
All right.
Maybe he can get Elton John to at least play a song for him, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've been fiddling with your iPad, I see.
Yeah, yes.
Technology guy. When Hal Sparks is here, he's obsessed with Angry Birds. Do you do the Angry Birds game?
I don't play the video game so much.
Me neither.
I don't...
You can play one in real life in Florida. There are real-life Angry Birds attacking customers.
There, yeah. That's the one I want to play, the Hitchcock version. Right. Now my blood's going.
The
there
one,
you go.
The
that's
one where there's a Suzanne Plachette eyeball somewhere sticking.
That's right.
Customers of a Hallandale Beach Bank are ducking for cover after several birds protecting their nests have been diving at people's heads. I don't know. I just like the story just for this one bank customer. What the f*** is wrong with these birds? Jamar Adams. Was returning to his car from the ATM.
Yeah. What? That's the modern citizen now, is what the hell is up with an animal protecting its young?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't do that anymore. We don't protect our young.
All right. Speaking of reality shows that are not Celebrity Apprentice, what you call it? Snooki and the, what's the Jersey Shore? Never
Situation.
Seen it. Never seen it. Yeah, I've
been to the actual Jersey. Once again, I don't play the game. I just actually go to the Jersey Shore.
The shore. Yeah, apparently the show is supposed to go to Italy, and the mayor of Florence has agreed. issued an edict, no booze. What is, if they can't drink, what else is the point of that show?
That's right.
No, the cast will not be filmed in bars and clubs that serve alcohol. The cast will not be filmed drinking in public. So, wow, the Jersey Shore sober. That's going
to
be.
Oh, no. Boy, how bad you have to be that Berlusconi doesn't want you around.
You party too hard for Berlusconi.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Oh, speaking of craptastic entertainment, I don't know about, I don't think you'll be buying tickets to this. Tiffany and Debbie Gibson are touring together.
Wow.
What?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Sign
yes.
me up.
Mm-hmm. They appeared together, you probably know this, in the movie Mega Python versus Gatoroid.
Sure.
What? I read the book, and there's just no way to put the entire book in
it.
You just can't shoot that in 2 hours.
Yeah. You know what, Chris? This may top my other favorite line of all time, Demi Moore in Striptease, which... First of all, has been my favorite line of dialogue ever in a movie.
No chance that I am going to roll around naked in creamed corn with a bunch of drunken yahoos trying to stick niblets up my hoo-ha.
I mean, it's hard to top that.
Niblets
however,
up my hoo-ha.
Debbie Gibson said to Tiffany in Mega Python versus Gatoroid. Okay, you ready? I have to get in character. Oh, bitch, please. You're going down. You're going to get it, you gator-baiting bitch.
Oh,
and they will be doing covers of songs by Stevie Nicks, Reba McEntire, and Guns N' Roses, as well as Broadway tunes.
Oh,
wow, that sounds truly
Holy
awful.
Crap.
Man,
craptastic. Is Charlie Sheen opening for him?
I'm just picturing
That's
me.
A violent torpedo of awful.
I'm just picturing what else I'm going to spend that $100 on right now. I just got the swirling images of other items.
Oh, all right, we found him. Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us, as always.
Well, it's always my pleasure.
Well,
I have the way you describe the language in the movies. I think it's kind of what the Republicans are doing to this country. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got some niblets stuck in there.
Yeah, it is something out of whatever that's called, Mega Gatoroid something. You've got to be heartened, as I am, by these polls showing 80% of the American people don't think we ought to balance the budget by abolishing Medicare or raising or cutting taxes on the rich again.
Well, I think the American people are smart, and I think that the Republicans are certainly overreaching. I mean, they are using the budget crisis or the deficit as an excuse to get rid of every social program they've hated for 50, 60, 70 years, and I think the American public will finally catch up to them. You know, when we did health care, We did it because we feel strongly that, that everybody is entitled to health care. The Republicans, as you know, lied about the bill, scared people about the bill, and made it look like the Democrats overreached. I think they're overreaching now, and I think that independents are not going to be with them in 2012, and I think that they're going to, if we're smart, now we've learned in the past to not be so smart, or our instincts are not so smart. I mean, we have to take Medicare and Medicaid and hammer away at it, just hammer away at it, because I think that they have overreached. You see what they do, what they're doing in the states, in Wisconsin and Ohio, and of course in Washington, and I think the American people won't stand for it.
Well, it doesn't seem like they are. I mean, when Paul Ryan's getting booed at his own town hall, I don't understand what's happening in Washington. Maybe you can explain it to me. They, you know, the media claim that the Tea Party was this huge, powerful, fearsome, you know, power that, you know, apparently John Boehner has to cater to. And meanwhile, 70% of Tea Party members don't want a Medicare cut either. I mean, who are they working for exactly?
Well, I think the Tea Party, the most vocal Tea Party people are the real, you know, right-wing yahoos. I think that people who really don't know, they look at the Tea Party and they say, well, this is a great movement of people who are fed up with Washington, fed up with government, fed up with spending, and they kind of go along with it. I think a lot of people don't really realize that this is an ultra right wing group that's kind of manipulating people's annoyances about things to try to make it seem like they're just sort of a grassroots movement. But I think we've seen these kind of movements before, and I think that it's going to peter out because it's phony. It's just not sustainable, and it's certainly not caring for the average person, not for seniors, not for children, not for poor people or working people. It's a bunch of, you know, white, rich, older men, frankly, and some women.
Yeah. I'm happy any morning I can get a congressman to say right-wing yahoos.
I'll say it, right-wing yahoos.
With niblets in their hoo-ha.
Congressman, you are a senior member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee Subcommittee on Energy and Power, which takes longer to say than most of your meetings, I imagine.
That's true.
You've been talking about gas prices as being a fraud on the American people. Tell us what you mean.
Well, the more I've looked at it, there certainly seems to be manipulation of prices. I think people are trading, and they're driving the prices up, betting on the fact that the prices are going to go up. We talk about, you know, the Republicans talk about balancing the budget or getting rid of the deficit. You know, you've got, I think, Exxon paid no taxes last year.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of the subsidies for big oil if we're going to have you know, equitable tax code, and you know, the
can
bottom
I ask,
line,
can
you know,
I ask a so, dumb layperson question? Why would we ever give subsidies in the first place to oil companies with their massive profits?
Well, you know, it's amazing. I tried to get the bill changed. The so-called, the Republicans deride it as the cap and trade bill that we passed in the House, but never, we passed it out of committee. We passed it on the floor. The Senate never took it up, so it died. I tried to get a mandate in there, which is a bill that I've been pushing for many years now, about 5 years, 6 years, saying that all cars built in America have to be flex fuel cars, meaning they can run on methanol, ethanol, any of those alcohol-based fuels, and gasoline. And I think that anything that would be competition for oil, for gasoline, would help drive the prices down. And even though it would cost about $80 per car, that's all it would cost to make the cars flex fuel.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lobbyist beat me down. I couldn't even get it in the Democratic pass bill. They just don't want any change. They like it just the way it is. And it's very, very hard to do, and it's why every president since Gerald Ford has talked about weaning us off of foreign oil, and yet it's just rhetoric. We never seem to be able to do it.
Yeah, that is sad. Thank God we got warriors like you in there. Representative Elliot Engel, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Steph. It's always a pleasure.
All right, there he goes, Representative Elliot Engel. It reminded me of one of your favorite bits that you do about people in heaven that have been assassinated for various reasons.
Yeah, right. The riding up the escalator to heaven. What are you in here for? Political jokes. How about you? Oh, I invented a car that runs on water.
Right.
Pew, 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 pew. Pew, pew, pew. How about you? Light bulb that never burns out. Air bubble.
There's something, and you have to see Rick Overton do it, because there's just a way that you do the sound effect and the assassination.
Head against the horn.
Yes. You don't even get through the word
you
water. I invented the car that runs on.
Yeah. Everyone knows immediately. And I do the bit so that now if you kill me, it would be too ironic. It would be too ironic. Boink.
Richard in Illinois on Groundhog Day, the movie starring Rick Overton. Hello, Richard.
Okay, rise and shine, campers, and don't forget your booties because it's cold out there this morning.
I got you, babe.
Yeah. I used to audition with Jim Ward at A-plus Talent. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, wow.
So you're the actual guy that says that in the Groundhog Day movie?
Yeah. I was so disappointed because I auditioned for like four other roles and kept thinking, oh, this is going to be fun. We didn't know the story. And Rob Reilly and I went in there, and 40 minutes later we walked out and we said, well, we got screwed. You know, too bad we won't be heard. Because we had no idea whether it was going to make a second appearance or a third or a fourth.
Wow.
And, wonderful time.
Do you have I Got You, Babe? I mean, we could reenact the whole scene. And you could
anytime you like. Yeah, for every year on Groundhog Day, we recreate the scene from the movie at sunrise in the cold.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead.
Okay, rise and shine, campers. Don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there this morning. It's cold out there every morning. What is this, Miami Beach? Not hardly. You can use that best hazardous travel later today with that blizzarding all right here. The National Weather Service calls for a big blizzarding. But now the reason people are especially excited, especially cold. Okay, but the big question on everyone's...
Thank you, Richard.
That's right. Don't drive angry.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments. Rick Overton live in studio right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. There she is, the official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show. Melissa Etheridge. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Rick Overton, live in studio with us. We tricked him into staying for another hour. For free, ladies and gentlemen. This is like the radio version of Tom Sawyer, where we get people to paint the fence, because look how much fun. Wouldn't you like to do that, too? Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang paint the fence for free every week. Wouldn't you like to?
I'll travel up the river with you on a raft.
All right. So you are obviously a star of stage and screen. Lindsay Lohan has lost yet another job. TMZ reporting she was going to play Victoria Gotti, but her management team kept making ridiculous demands during negotiations, so she will apparently not be playing.
Yeah, she's been in jail too many times to play Victoria Gotti.
Yeah, that's kind
of... Well, that's weird.
What does your rider look like, Rick Overton? Do you make ridiculous demands? What sort of things are...
Bathroom.
Bathroom, yes.
I'm the urinator. I'll be right back.
I'm sure this will change, but, you know, Chris, I didn't tell you this. The lovely Barrymore Theater, where we'll be performing the Sexy Liberal show this Saturday, asked what my requirements are. And I'm like, I don't care about any of that crap. And he goes, this is the first time in the history of this business I've ever gotten this email. I'm like, I just don't care. I really don't. I don't care. Dressing room, whatever. I don't care.
Here's your incomprehensibly difficult to find platter of items for your room.
I know. I just don't care. All right. So I probably won't get a bathroom or a room. They'll just be a jelly bean. I don't know.
You'll be in your car. Rental car in the parking lot.
I'll learn to ask for things, I guess.
We'll text you when you're on.
Oh, this is weird. John Travolta is going to play Gotti, and also in our next celebrity stack, he has been called in to assist Kirstie Alley on Dancing with the Stars because her partner dropped her.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And they handled it very... The recovery was very graceful, though.
Yes. Yes. You know, when you do that on the street, like, you look like you meant to do that. I meant to do that.
That was all part of it, you know. Skaters do it. And
yes.
They just removed the difficulty level of skates and just, you know, went down. It got away from me.
They have enlisted the help of legendary Saturday Night Fever actor who named himself the Dance Doctor, John Travolta, advising the duo to release their romantic tension. John then told her she needs to reassess her footwear because one of her high heels flew off mid-waltz. Yes, he advised her to try a sneaker.
Doc Martens.
All right. The cast of... we don't probably have the Happy Days theme. The cast of Happy Days is suing CBS and Paramount for $10 million, charging they've not...
$10 million.
Mm-hmm. They've not been paid for their share of years of home video releases and licensed merchandise that uses their image in videos. So they're suing for...
about time.
Jeez, that's them.
Yeah, Potsy wants his cash. He's not kidding around.
Well, let's get that man some money. Because, you know, don't see him that much anymore.
No.
That's only fair.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, Chris, you told me this yesterday. Michelle Bachmann's son is apparently a hottie. He was offered to pose for a Playgirl.
Yeah.
He turned down the offer. But I love this. 28-year-old Lucas declined the offer, at least partially due to the fact he's currently focusing on his psychiatry residency at the University of Connecticut. So he may one day cure his bat... crazy mother.
Isn't that ironic?
I'm just going to go on the limb why he decided to go into psychiatry.
To meet strippers in psych school.
Because my mother's bat. That's pretty much why.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I want to get rid of that glazed look on her face.
Oh, dear. Jim, I think John Boner may be at a tavern later because his approval ratings. When the Boner's poll drops, you know things have gotten bad.
The Boner's become a noodle bat.
Oh, God.
I want my noodle back. Give it to me.
I would see my hair with a noodle back.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodle back.
That's Kathy Durr.
Durr.
She's a Tea Party leader.
Unfortunate last name.
It was originally Duh, then
like
they changed it to Doy, and now it's...
Duh was taken. Oh, man.
The more some Americans have seen Boner, the more they seem to dislike his work. 40% of those surveys in a Washington Post ABC News poll say they disapprove of his job performance, up from 27% in January.
You're all just orangists. You can't handle the orange.
The weird part is crying is the only part that makes him human.
It's
it is the single
now.
Only human quality this reptilian has. Otherwise, he is a completely not human invading alien.
I once got called a racist for mentioning his orange color, and I'm like, how can you be racist for mentioning a white man that chooses to be orange?
They're invading aliens. He's guessing at being human.
That's
what most of them are. Well, most of the Republicans and a lot of the blue dogs, you can see it. That they look like they got a transmission from the 50s, and they're trying to do the hair, and they all look like this weird vacuform molded head.
That explains Mitt Romney. He's
and
clip art.
Human stamp mold that just covers the alien body, and they all look the same, and they all don't operate it correctly,
but
and they don't
talk
well.
You're an actor. That's crying is too much, isn't it?
It's the last little dim little Christmas light of a soul trying to get out of that hell thing that's been painted over, you know? It's just crying out. I know this is wrong. Someone stop me. Every crook wants to be stopped.
All right, you know who else is having trouble? Newt Gingrich, frankly. Yes, he's struggling to raise hard cash. He raised a meager $53,000 in his political action committee in the first 3 months of the year.
Frankly.
Oh, boy. Highlighting, because you know why? No one likes him, and he has no chance in hell, and it's just a ridiculous field on the Republican side.
Once again, talking about reptilian, he's named after a reptile.
Yeah. Frankly.
He's actually just has the name.
Frankly, I think Obama should put him in the back of the plane to see how he reacts again.
Yeah. Newt Gingrich.
Damn it, damn it. I'm in the back of the plane again. It sucks, frankly.
All right. And, give me some love music. What's his name? Huntsman. He's toast now. Did you see this? Somebody leaked. Huntsman wrote a love letter to Obama, and that's about the worst thing you could possibly do in the Republican field, to say anything good about the president. A would-be Republican presidential candidate, U.S. Ambassador to China, John Huntsman, caught red-handed in sending gushing letters to the last two Democratic presidents. In the last letter, he says Bill Clinton, he lauds him for his sense of history and brilliant analysis of world events. He pours praise on his wife, Hillary Clinton, saying she has even more charisma than her husband. In the second, he thanks President Obama for the appointment and his graciousness and kindness. He then praises Mr. Obama as a remarkable leader. The letters could be a problem as he gears up. for the Republican nomination.
Well, he was encouraging. He's covering his bets.
He was hoping to coast on a butch named Huntsman.
Yeah.
He's practically Nugent.
Rick Overton, anything to plug real quick?
Watch Chaos and then write CBS and go, we love it so much, change your mind and bring it back.
Yeah, all right. I'd like to thank Chris Savoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. Thank you, Rick. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Love you.
Love you.